It is Wednesday, May 29th, and this is a new episode of Pink is the New Podcast by me, Trent Benegas. So, okay, there's some stuff to talk about that took place over the past week, but full disclosure right up front, I have to tell you that I had a very busy week last week. The whole entire week is kind of a blur because I was working really, really hard on the TV show that I've been working on for the past 7 months now. And I'll talk a little bit about this as I get farther into the podcast today. But just so you know, this episode may not be as long as earlier episodes, but I do have some stuff to talk about, and let's get to it. All right. So last Wednesday, on May 22nd, Tori Amos, one of my all-time favorite musicians, singer, songwriter, pianist, goddess, Tori Amos, delivered the commencement address at the Peabody Conservatory. Now, for those of you who may not be aware, the Peabody Conservatory is this really fancy music school on the East Coast where only, like, you know, genius-level musicians go to train or to be educated. And if memory serves, Tori Amos is among the youngest people to ever be admitted to the Peabody Conservatory. I think she was like 1 year old or something. Okay, she probably wasn't that young, but she was a very young child when she was admitted. And so she got her start at a very young age at this very prestigious music academy. And all these years later, she has been invited back to deliver the commencement address for the class of 2019. In March, it was first announced that she would be delivering the commencement address and that she would be receiving the 2019 George Peabody Medal for Outstanding Contributions to Music in America. Now, considering that Tori Amos is one of the most successful singer-songwriters of the past, geez, going on 30 years now, I'm not surprised that she has been given this award, and I am not surprised that the Peabody Conservatory decided to have her back to deliver the commencement address. I remember when I first learned of Tori Amos and her music, I was completely obsessed, and I devoured absolutely every single bit of information about her. And she talked at length about her time at the Peabody Conservatory. So I know that she is probably very proud to have been asked to speak at the commencement this year. And I have no doubt that the graduating class of 2019 was very excited to have her there speaking. So that is really amazing news. Last Thursday, the trailer for the new Terminator film was released. Now, there have been a few Terminator sequels since the original. But from what I understand, this latest Terminator sequel will negate the previous two or three sequels, which is kind of a trend that's happening in reboot sequels these lately. if you remember, last Halloween, a new Halloween movie came out starring Jamie Lee Curtis, and it was presented as a sequel to the original film. So it negated Halloween 2, Halloween 3, Halloween 4, Halloween 5, Halloween 6, Halloween 7, Halloween H2O, all of those Halloweens that came after the original. The sequel that came out last year negated all of those because it picked up where the story left off after the first movie. So in that same style, the new Terminator film that's due out will pick up after Terminator 2. Now, Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 both star Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor, and Linda Hamilton is back again as Sarah Connor, picking up where Terminator 2 left off. So I watched the trailer, and I have to say, Linda Hamilton looks amazing. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger looked pretty good for being however old he is. He's like 80-something or 70-something. I mean, he's old. And he's still, like, kicking it as a robotic Terminator cyborg from the future. I guess I can spoil the trailer because the trailer's out and anyone can see it. So there's a new bad Terminator who is like a liquid metal Terminator, but this one looks like, you know, more, the special effects look better. So, you know, this new Terminator should be scary. And, from what I gathered, and I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but this is what I interpreted. So it looks like this new Terminator film will go back to the past to when Linda Hamilton's Sarah Connor was young. So it seems like the Terminator from the future has decided to go back into the past to eliminate Sarah Connor when she was a child. But then that doesn't really make sense, because if they did eliminate her as a child, then she would never grow up to give birth to John Connor, who would grow up to be the person in the future who defeats the Terminators and Skynet and all of that. So now that I'm talking about it, I think I got it wrong. But irregardless of that fact, the trailer's out. And if you're excited about a new Terminator movie, there's one on the way. And, you know, as always with these sorts of things, I tend to go into them with cautious optimism, because I really loved Terminator. I really loved T2, Terminator 2. The sequels, meh. So if this new Terminator film turns out like the first two, then I will be very happy. So I will be very much looking forward to the release of the next Terminator film. I'm not even sure they're giving it a number, because it can't be Terminator 3, because Terminator 3 has already been released, and this is going to negate that. But anyways, new Terminator coming soon. Stay tuned. Also, last Thursday, the trailer for the new Jean-Luc Picard Star Trek series was released. As you may know, and I mentioned this, in a previous podcast, CBS is releasing a new Star Trek series that is going to be focused on Jean-Luc Picard, as he is now as an older retired admiral or whatever rank he has in Starfleet. The series will pick up after the events of Star Trek Nemesis, which was the last Star Trek The Next Generation film to be released. And in that movie, the planet Romulus got it blown up, and all the ramifications of that, I'm sure, will play out in this new series. So in this trailer, which is kind of like a teaser, there's a voiceover, and it looks like the setting is Earth at a vineyard. Picard's family are winemakers for centuries, so it looks like in his retirement age, he will at some point, or at least for a little bit, take control of the family's wine business, and undoubtedly he will be called to arms or called to command again in this new series. So yes, it's a teaser, and it gives us our first look of what's to come. And the very last scene of the clip is Jean-Luc Picard wearing, you know, a hat, like a hat to keep the sun out of his eyes, and a beard, and he's looking older, which is very reminiscent of an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where Picard retreated back home to the family, to his home to his brother's family home on Earth after his whole incident with the Borg left him traumatized and almost ruined him, and he went home to, you know, find himself again. So it looks like this is the same sort of setting or feeling that we're going to get, at least to start, from the new series, which has been titled Star Trek Picard. That is due out later this year, so if you are a Star Trek fan or a Jean-Luc Picard fan, get excited, because the show is on its way. On Friday, the Spice Girls kicked off their reunion tour in London. Now, as you may know, earlier this year, I think in January or somewhere around the new year, the Spice Girls announced that they were finally reuniting and going on tour. But they are reuniting without Victoria Beckham. So Victoria Beckham, who is now a very, very successful fashion designer, has decided that she no longer wants to be or needs to be a Spice Girl. So she has opted out of going on tour with the rest of the girls. So the rest of the girls are going out on tour to reunite without her. And I know a lot of people aren't happy about that. I mean, would I have loved to have seen all five Spice Girls together? Yes. Does it make sense that Victoria Beckham would, you know, put her business on hold so she can, like, you know, prance around on stage, you know, singing or lip syncing or whatever with a pop group? No, that does not make sense to me. So I don't blame Victoria for choosing not to go on tour with the girls. It sucks that they can't all reunite, but let's not forget when London hosted the Olympics back in 2012, Victoria did return to the Spice Girls fold, and all five girls performed at the closing ceremonies of the 2012 London Olympics. Even then, I was a little concerned that Victoria wouldn't do it because she was already well established in her career at that point. So I was very happy that she did that, and I do not fault her for not going on tour this time. When they reunited back in 2007, I want to say, that was the last time that all five Spice Girls went on tour together whole and toured the world. And they played two shows at the Staples Center here in Los Angeles, and I went to both shows and I loved. So I can very proudly and happily say that I got to see all five Spice Girls live in concert. So, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy for me. I mean, again, I totally understand fans who have never seen the Spice Girls before and may be upset that Victoria's not with them, but I mean, you got to take what you can get. And what we have now are the four Spice Girls are on the road again, and they are touring the world. So I saw this the set list, and the set list looked pretty damn good. They played all the hits. I mean, it was very expected the show that they're putting on. It's built for nostalgia, it's built for hits, and it's built to satisfy longtime fans and new fans. So the costumes also, like, I didn't see all the photos because, I mean, there are always a million photos online after a show happens. But the core performance outfits that the girls wore, which are each representative of their individual personalities, so Baby Spice, Scary Spice, Sporty Spice, and Ginger Spice, their costumes were very representative of their Spice names, and they looked fantastic. And it really looks like this Spice Girls tour is going to be a huge hit, even without Victoria. So Spice Girls coming to a town near you, hopefully. I don't think that they've announced U.S. dates yet. I think they're just doing Europe for right now. But I would bet very good money that the Spice Girls will be coming to the U.S. at some point in the future. On Saturday, Moby. So Moby has released a memoir where, you know, I'm not a big Moby fan. Let me just start by saying this. I'm not a big Moby fan. I mean, his music's okay. His album Play, I think it's called, from the 90s. I liked that record, but I'm not really a big Moby fan. He hasn't really been somebody who has been on my radar. But the story that came out this weekend caught my eye because of how cringeworthy and embarrassing it is. So Moby has released a memoir where he brags about dating, or at least trying to date Lana Del Rey before she became Lana Del Rey, back when she was a very young new singer, Lizzie something, her name actually is, before she became Lana Del Rey. And he also brags about dating Natalie Portman when she was very, very young. Now, that in and of itself is worth talking about because it's gross. Moby, in his early 30s, was saying he was dating Natalie Portman when she was 20, but she was actually 18. And, you know, he was, you know, sharing or bragging about that part of his romantic past. Natalie Portman was asked about this news that was reported in that Moby put in his book, and she's like, yeah, no, we didn't really date because I was just out of high school and he was a creepy older guy who kept like hitting on me inappropriately, which is really, really upsetting. Once news of that came out, Moby posted on his Instagram, like, I don't know why people are lying, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, he was refuting what she was saying. I mean, he was just making the situation worse until the backlash against him was so bad that he posted a semi non-apology, you know, admitting that he was wrong or he may have remembered things incorrectly or whatever. All I know is, you know, this whole thing sounds sad and lame, and I don't know if it's going to do wonders for his book sales or his public persona, but, you know, maybe he should stick to not writing books, or at least if he's going to write a book, save the salacious, quote-unquote, juicy stories for not public consumption, because his stories are problematic and he can't even get them right. So that's what's going on with Moby. On Saturday night, it was revealed that Sasha Obama went to prom, which is so cute when you think about the fact that when the Obamas moved into the White House all those years ago, little Sasha was just a tiny, tiny little girl, and now she's a high school senior going to prom, and it's crazy. Pictures of her and her prom date made their way online, and she looked really, really great in her dress. She looked really, really happy. She looks grown as well. So that's kind of cool to see that little Miss Sasha is growing up and will be going to college soon, which is really, really crazy. Courtney Love was quoted in a new interview where she promises that her band Hole will be reuniting soon, which is great news for Hole fans, and I among them. I am a big Hole fan, so I'm very excited about this news of a Hole reunion. But I'm taking this news with a huge grain of salt because Courtney has talked about a Hole reunion for at least 10 years now, longer than that. So over 10 years, Courtney's been talking about like Hole will be reuniting or they'll be doing new music or whatever, and it never seems to happen. But, you know, here she is again, and she was asked, and She says that, so here's the quote. So the chances of Hole reforming and touring for the anniversary of the release of Hole's amazing album, Live Through This, she says, "We are definitely talking about it. There's nothing wrong with honoring your past. I've just kind of discovered that. If you don't, people will rewrite history and you will become an inconvenient woman." So it sounds like, if a Hole reunion happens to mark the anniversary of Live Through This, it's going to happen because she wants to make sure that her legacy and the legacy of her band is lives on. So, you know, I have had a long, I've been a Courtney Love fan for a long time. It's been up and down, but ever since she's gotten clean, and I've seen her perform when she wasn't clean, and I've seen her perform when she's been clean. So now that she's sober, she's great. Like, the last time I saw Courtney Love in concert, she was fantastic. It was a really, really good show. My friend Josh Rosebrook and I go to see Courtney every chance that we get. So whenever Courtney goes on tour, we make sure that we both get tickets and we go see her together. So, it sounds like if all this quote unquote talking continues, then we will get a chance to see Courtney Love and all of Hole together again on stage. I love Melissa Auftemar, who is the bassist for Hole, and it was, her work with Hole where I became a fan of her, as a solo artist, because Melissa Auftemar does her own music. So, the thought of the band getting back together is really exciting to me. So hopefully, it will happen. Stay tuned. On Sunday, I spent the day, relaxing. Well, kind of relaxing. So, okay. So let me go back. So last week, Monday through Friday were very busy days for me because, as you may know, I am a producer on the upcoming HGTV show, A Very Brady Renovation. And we are renovating the house that, that stood as the exterior fronts of the Brady Bunch house. And we have completely renovated the interior of this, one level house and made it a two level complete recreation, real house working recreation of the Brady Bunch house. So our principal filming ended last week, and the final days were complete madness. We were working like all hours of the day and the night, no sleep. It was nuts. So, Wednesday was busy, Thursday was busy, Friday was busy, and thankfully we had Saturday, Sunday, and yesterday, and Monday off for Memorial Day. So I spent my Saturday trying to do as little as possible, and I spent my Sunday trying to do as little as possible as well. But my friend Adriana came over and she helped me go through a whole bunch of stuff. I'm trying to like downsize and I'm getting rid of a bunch of stuff and I'm donating and all of that. So she and I spent a couple hours in the afternoon going through my closets and doing the Marie Kondo thing about like, does this spark joy? No, it doesn't. So this t-shirt's going away. And she helped me manage to pare down my closets considerably. So that was what I did for part of my Sunday. And then that evening, my friend Wes and I went to the Hollywood Bowl to see New Kids on the Block, Tiffany, Debbie Gibson, Salt-N-Pepa, and Naughty by Nature in concert on the mixtape tour. And a weird coincidence was that the very first concert I ever saw ever was on May 26th, 1991, and it was a radio festival, and Salt-N-Pepa was one of the headline performers. Cut to 28 years later to the day, I went to another concert festival, and Salt and Peppa was one of the headline performers. So that was pretty freaking cool. Let me tell you about the mixtape tour. I had the best time. Now, when I bought tickets for this show, you know, I was like, oh, cool, I'll go see, like, New Kids on the Block and Tiffany and Debbie Gibson. Like, I love all these groups. I love, you know, their songs. And I managed to get really, really cheap tickets. Live Nation had a sale where for like 3 days, you could buy tickets to any one of their shows that wasn't sold out. And the tickets were $20. No fees, no extra costs, no tax, $20. Crazy. I ended up buying tickets for a few shows, honestly. And this New Kids on the Block mixtape tour was one of them. So going into the show, I was like, yeah, it's going to be fun. Like, I knew it was going to be fun. And I knew that Wes and I were going to have fun. He was super excited. So we made our way there. And what I hadn't really anticipated was how the setup of the show was going to affect my entertainment level. So there are five acts, and traditionally when you see a show like this, one act goes on and then they finish, and the next act goes on and then they finish, and then the next act goes on and they finish, and that's usually how it goes. Not so for the mixtape tour. So right at the appointed time, the New Kids on the Block came out first, and they performed a few songs and just blew everyone's minds. And then they went off stage, and then Tiffany came out, and then she performed, and then she went off stage. And then Debbie Gibson came out and performed, and then Salt and Peppa came out and performed, and then New Kids on the Block came back, and then Tiffany came back. It was like that all night long. The artists mixed, you know, in and out when they were performing, so you always had something to look forward to from all of them, which was so great. What a genius idea. Now, the Hollywood Bowl is an outdoor venue, and it's big. So originally, the cheap seats that I got for Wes and I, we were way in the back, but we managed to make our way up kind of like to the midpoint, mid-center, great vantage point, and very close to like the middle promenade area, where all of a sudden, bam, that promenade became a stage, and New Kids on the Block were seriously like 10 rows in front of me, like right there. It was just crazy. Like I said, I knew it was going to be a fun show, but I did not anticipate that it was going to be as insanely fun as it turned out to be. So I know that the tour's already been, you know, making its way across the country. So if you missed it, I am so sorry. But if New Kids on the Block, Tiffany, Debbie Gibson, Salt and Peppa, and Naughty by Nature, if they are coming to your town, do yourself a favor and go. I promise you will have the best time ever. I love t-shirts. And I usually get a t-shirt at every concert I go to. I've been better lately, especially now that I'm purging. I'm like, I don't buy as many t-shirts, but, vintage t-shirts I will keep forever. And I have a New Kids on the Block vintage t-shirt from 1990. And I never, ever imagined that I would get to wear it to a New Kids on the Block show. But I wore my shirt, and that destiny was fulfilled for me. So New Kids were great. Debbie Gibson was great. Salt Peppa was great. Naughty by Nature was great. But for me, I think my favorite of the night was Tiffany. I've just always loved Tiffany. As you may recall, I mentioned a few podcasts ago that Tiffany re-recorded her hit song, I Think We're Alone Now, for 2019. And it was at that point that I mentioned, oh yeah, she's going on tour with New Kids on the Block, blah, blah, blah. And I said, maybe I'll go. Well, here it is. And I went, and she was fantastic. She sounded great. Ugh, the whole entire crowd was just having the best time ever. Everywhere you looked, there were people singing and dancing, and it was just a room full of happy people having fun. So again, if the mixtape tour is coming to town, do yourself a favor and go. You will have the best time. I loved it. So after the show, Wes and I were not done with our evening. I had the next day off. So we ended up going downtown to the Lash here in downtown Los Angeles. And we went to, the 90s Goth Club dance party, which is probably my favorite dance party, in town. It happens once a month. It's always free. And it's two rooms of goth industrial from like the 90s. And it is just, I just love it. I just love that party. So, we went, and we were there till they kicked us out, and I had a pretty fun Sunday night. So that was my Sunday. On Monday, okay, so on Sunday as well, while I was, you know, dancing my ass off at the Hollywood Bowl, HBO aired the Game of Thrones documentary about the making of the final season of Game of Thrones. So it aired on Sunday, and I didn't watch it until Monday. But if you watched it and you're a Game of Thrones fan, I think you get a really good understanding of what went down on set that last year that they filmed the final season. It's totally worth watching if you're a Game of Thrones fan. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's on HBO. You can probably watch it on demand. And it's really cute the way they do it. You know, they start, on day one when everyone comes to set for the table read, and they're reading, you know, a synopsis of what's going to happen over the final season. And Kit Harington has this major reaction when he finds out in real time on camera that he is the one who, spoiler alert, if you haven't caught up, spoiler alert, Kit Harington's character Jon Snow is the character that kills Daenerys in the season finale episode, series finale episode of Game of Thrones. So he found out like on camera at the table read, and he was totally blown away. And it's a really cute moment to see in the documentary. But for me, the best thing about the documentary is that the focus is on a few very small actors and production people who worked on the show, and you get to see how the final season of the show played out through their eyes. So one of the guys is an extra from like the first season, and he has been an extra, a member of the Stark family's, you know, military men or like their housemen from House Stark. And he has played that role every season since the first season. And you follow him through the final season and how excited he is and how proud he is to be a part of the production and how it impacts him as the whole series wraps up. And as luck would have it, he's in it to the very last episode. So it's cool. It's a really cool behind the scenes look at Game of Thrones. So I recommend it. It was released on Sunday, and you should check it out. On Monday, Shakespeare's sister announced that they are here in Los Angeles to record more new music. They spent the weekend at the iconic Sunsets Down recording studio here in LA, where some of the most important albums and have been recorded by some of the biggest stars of all time, like the Beatles. Like, I mean, I can't even list all of the major, if any, the most important musical acts, bands, or performers that you've ever heard of, they have recorded at Sunset Sound. And this weekend, Shakespeare's sister recorded new music there as well. They recorded three new songs that are going to be released on a new EP that will be released on vinyl this fall before the ladies go on tour in October. So, if you're keeping track, they will release two new songs on their singles collection in July, and then now these three new songs will come out later in the year, which means that there will be five new Shakespeare Sister songs released this year. And as a huge Shakespeare Sister fan, I am really excited. So I can't wait to hear this new music And I'm very excited because, as I believe, both Siobhan and Marcella live here in Los Angeles. And I have a feeling, and I don't want to jinx it, so I don't want to ruin it by speaking it out loud, but I don't know, maybe if I speak it out into the universe, it'll become a reality. I have a feeling that Shakespeare's sister will probably perform here in Los Angeles before they go on tour in the rest of the world. They might do like a warm-up, you know, rehearsal show here or something. And if that's the case, I will die to get to see Shakespeare's sister in concert. I can't even imagine. But, so let's hope that happens. But in the meantime, the Shakespeare sister ladies are working on new music, and by the end of this year, they will have released at least half of a new album already. So that is great news. This weekend, the live-action version of Disney's Aladdin was released in theaters, and it won the box office weekend. I don't know the exact number, but I believe it made over $200 million at the box office over the long Memorial Day weekend, which is great for Disney. And I went to go see the movie on Monday. And I'm very disappointed to say that I did not like the movie at all. Now, I had a feeling that the movie wasn't going to be my favorite because I am not a big Will Smith fan, and I did not have faith that he would make a good genie for this movie. And I was right. His performance was lackluster, to say the least. His singing performances were boring completely, and I really wish, you know, at least if Will Smith was like the weakest link, or if it was the only thing I didn't like about the film, I would still be happy, because Aladdin is one of the best Disney animated films ever released, with some of my favorite Disney songs are from Aladdin. So even if I didn't like Will Smith and the rest of the movie was great, I would have been very happy. But heavy sigh, I cannot say that there was a single thing about the movie I liked. I mean, it was just bad. The whole entire time I'm watching the movie, all I kept thinking was, I wish I was watching the original film instead. The performances didn't really pop. The songs were changed. There are lyric changes, I guess, to try and make them seem fresh. To me, it just made it... The changes were all completely unnecessary. The special effects in this day and age looked terrible. Like, come on. Like, we have seen, you know, some really, really fantastic special effects in films in the last 5 to 10 years. So at least you'd expect, you know, something like that to be something you have to worry about. But the effects were terrible. The acting performances weren't great. The guy who played Jafar was just bad. The woman who played Jasmine, she was fine. You know, they gave Jasmine 2 brand new songs, and both songs are terrible. Like, you know, I feel bad even continuing to talk about this movie, because I just don't like talking about things I don't like. Like, if I don't like something, I just would rather not even talk about it. But because I love Aladdin so much, and I had to see the movie, I have to be honest, and I have to tell you, it's just, I didn't like it. I think it's a bad movie. You know, like, a lot of people that I had seen on, you know, friends of mine online, they liked it. They liked it better than they thought they would, or they completely enjoyed it. So it's very possible that if you see this movie, you may love it. You may see something that I don't see, or you may forgive things that, you know, I can't forgive. But for me, this Aladdin movie is a huge disappointment. You know, I was cringing, I was rolling my eyes, I was bored. God, it's just, I feel bad because I love Aladdin, and now I can't wait to rewatch the original animated film to cleanse my palate and get the memory of this terrible live action film out of my mind. You know, and to add insult to injury, the whole movie's over, and then they're doing this Bollywood performance at the end, and, you know, they're trying to, like, go out with a bang, and then Will Smith screams out, DJ Khaled! Khalid! Khaled! Like, the worst DJ ever, and he does a remix of Friend Like Me, and it's just, oh, God, I was just like, get me out of here, this is terrible. So, yeah, I'm not a fan. There's a little twist to the story that, you know, I wish I could even give a nod to that and be like, oh, that's cool, that's progressive, but it was just handled so poorly and it played out so ineffectively that, again, just not a single thing about the movie that I liked. So, sorry, guys. If you liked the movie, you know, you should hit me up and let me know. Tell me why you liked it. I don't know. Change my mind or something. But I, you know, I gotta be honest, and I cannot lie about something Disney related, and I certainly am not gonna say that I love this adaptation of Aladdin if it sucks, because it sucks. So that's what I did on Monday. Yeah, if you see it and you like it, hit me up, let me know. If you agree with me, then you agree with me. You have taste. And on Tuesday, it was reported that Game of Thrones actor Kit Harington has checked himself into rehab. Now, I mentioned that the HBO aired a documentary about the final season of Game of Thrones. And at the end of that documentary, you know, obviously everybody's very sad, and Kit Harington was no exception. He was sad at the end and crying and saying goodbye. It was really very sweet and poignant in the movie. Well, it turns out that the end of Game of Thrones has reportedly had a worse effect on him. And it is being reported that he secretly checked himself into a quote-unquote luxury rehab for stress and alcohol use. Apparently he checked in about a month ago, with the full love and support of his wife, Rose. So, you know, it's kind of, it can be surprising. I personally am glad that this news came out because, you know, mental health is something very serious and it should be talked about. And when famous people, have problems like this and we learn about them, it humanizes them and it makes those of us who are suffering with the same sorts of feelings, it makes us feel not so alone. And there's nothing wrong with taking care of your mental health, going into a rehab facility or treatment center, can be, one of the best things that you ever do if it's something that you feel that you need. It could even save your life. So, good for Kit Harington for recognizing that he needed to take care of himself. And I'm sure we all wish him happiness and health and a speedy road to recovery. Another piece of interesting news that came out on Tuesday. Five Navy pilots have reported that they've interacted, maybe not interacted, that they have seen UFOs, like, for real, on the East Coast. Multiple mid-air encounters between Navy planes and unidentified flying objects have been reported, and there have been so many reports that an investigation is now being opened as to what's going on. Now, you know, it sounds crazy, and, you know, alien conspiracies and all of that sounds crazy, and it sounds like the world of sci-fi, because it is. But, you know, personally, I believe in extraterrestrial life. I do. It does not make any sense to me. It doesn't, in the realm of possibilities, it seems completely rational that there is other life elsewhere in the universe. The universe is so immensely large to think that we on this planet are the only sentient life in the universe is so arrogant and, in my opinion, ignorant and ridiculous. So, yes, I do believe that there is other life in the universe. That's not to say that I necessarily believe that that other extraterrestrial life is here on our planet or is visiting us or is, like, having encounters with Navy ships. But what the hell do I know? Like, I don't know. I've never seen anything that made me really, really question that belief. So I can't know and I don't know. But the fact that there are people saying that they have had UFO encounters is pretty interesting. Now, of course, there have been people who have said over, you know, a millennia, you know, that they have, you know, alien encounters and they've been abducted. And, you know, a lot of times these people are dismissed as being crazy or being liars. So it's really hard to know what to believe. But the fact that this story about these Navy pilots who are swearing that they run into UFOs gives me pause. And I thought it would be something worth sharing with all of you. So do you believe in UFOs? Do you believe that these Navy people have run into UFOs? I don't know. Hit me up. Let me know. And keep an eye out because you never know. You might have an alien encounter yourself. I might have an alien encounter, and if I do, I'll podcast about it, so stay tuned. One little bit of personal news. Tuesday is my friend Darian's birthday. Darian Lowenstein is one of my best friends. He's one of the first best friends that I made here in Los Angeles when I moved here 13 years ago, and I met Darian probably like 10 years ago. 11 years ago, and Tuesday was his birthday, so I know he listens. I hope he listens. He better be listening, and if you're listening to this, Darian, happy birthday. I love you, and when you're back from your world travels, we will celebrate your birth. And finally, the last thing that I want to talk about this week is news about and from our dear Britney Spears. So as you may recall, I have been talking about Britney for the past few podcasts because even though she's not really doing anything professionally, there's been a lot of chatter and a lot of discussion about her personal life and what may or may not be going on in her personal life. And I'm not even going to rehash any of that stuff all over again because it's not relevant to what I want to talk about today. On Tuesday, Britney updated her Instagram, her official Instagram account, with a new video where she seems to be speaking to naysayers and detractors who don't believe that she is posting her own content on her own Instagram. In the video, she looks to camera and she says, basically, "Hey, I know you don't believe that I'm recording these, but I'm recording these, and here's one, la 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 la." So let me go ahead and I'll just play you the clip so you can hear exactly what Britney had to say to everyone on her Instagram this Tuesday.
"For those of you who don't think I post my own videos, I did this video yesterday. So you're wrong, but I hope you like it."
So there you have it. Britney Spears telling you herself that she is the one responsible for posting on her Instagram, or at the very least posting this video on her Instagram. And it apparently is important enough for her to want to say that to her fans. So there you go. Now, is this going to satisfy the people who are non-believers or whatever, these crazy conspiracy theorists? Probably not. And I'm always of the mind of never feed the trolls because trolls will never be happy. But apparently she decided that she wanted to record this message for those people and everyone in general. And there you go. So after Brittany posted that short little video, she posted another thing on Instagram shortly thereafter of just like a photo, just, you know, I think she just essentially is trying to prove something. She's like, hey, I'm posting my own stuff. And there you go. So, you know, I just hope she's doing well. She looks well. I want to believe that she's doing well. And good for her for taking the initiative to, you know, do what she wants to do. I'm not going to get into all the other stuff again. I've talked about it before. There's no new anything official, so I'm going to leave it at that. And there you go. That's what I have for you this week. Now, again, I apologize if this podcast is a little shorter than usual. But like I mentioned, last week was a crazy week for me. And now that the principal filming of A Very Brady renovation is wrapped, my life should be getting back to normal work hours, normal weekends off, all of that good stuff. I have a couple of big-ish things happening in my future, in my immediate future, that I'm starting to plan for and take care of. And as the coming weeks unfold, I will share that information with you. But you're just going to have to wait and hear what I've got going on in my life. So yeah, that's all I got for you this week. I hope you guys had a great week. I hope you guys had a great May. When I come back at you next week, it's going to be June. We're already going to be at the halfway point of the year, which is insane to me. So summer is unofficially upon us. Memorial Day weekend, which we just celebrated, is the unofficial start of summer. So we are now ready for sun and fun and good times ahead. So I hope you had a great week. I hope you have an amazing week to come. And I'll be coming back at you next week with a whole new litany of fun pop culture and entertainment things to talk about. So until then, take care. I love ya, and bye.